from the community of St. Mary the Virgin in Bondage, which is an Anglican convent, and very much look forward, Sister Lizzie, to hearing what you have to share with us today on how we can read the scriptures more proudly.
Well, thank you for your welcome. And my hope this afternoon is to talk to you largely from my own experience. And also, about halfway through my talk, I'd like to give you a little an opportunity to have a go at something like Lectio Divina yourselves as part of this talk. So I wonder if the Bible is a part of your own prayer time during the week. And if so, I wonder in what kind of ways you currently engage with the Bible. I thought it would be helpful to begin by thinking about the main different ways that we can engage with Scripture. Firstly, there's what we might simply call Bible reading. Bible reading is when we quite simply read the Bible or hear the Bible being read to us, without necessarily meditating on the passage or praying with it. We simply expose ourselves to Scripture, taking it in through our eyes or ears. If you pray morning prayer or evening prayer or occasionally attend evensong, you'll find that Bible reading is part of these offices. And you'll also all be aware that scripture is always read out at a Eucharist. Perhaps you have your own Bible reading plan that you use at home. Some people follow a read the Bible in a year plan. When I was a teenager, it was recommended to me that I read four chapters of the Bible a day, and I did actually find that very manageable and enriching. So this is Bible reading. We're being exposed to a fair bit of scripture most days, and that helps us become familiar with the Bible as a whole and how parts of it fit together. But because Bible reading is more about getting a broader overview of the Bible and regularly taking in slightly longer stretches of it, it doesn't lend itself to entering very deeply and prayerfully into a single shorter passage of scripture. Secondly, there's Bible study. This is when we're predominantly interested to learn more about the history or the culture attached to a book of the Bible, or when we explore theological themes. Perhaps you sometimes read Bible commentaries, or occasionally attend Bible studies or Lent courses. Many of us find that studying the Bible deepens our prayer life. But Bible study isn't the same as sitting and praying with a passage of scripture. Thirdly, there's what I'm going to call meditation on a Bible passage with the help of another. I expect you're all very familiar with this. In this category, I'm going to place things like listening to the sermon on a Sunday, using a booklet that offers a prayerful meditation on a Bible passage each day, or engaging in a daily Bible meditation with the help of a website or an app. These forms of meditation on a Bible passage with the help of another are extremely helpful to many Christians, and they're in fact halfway towards Lectio Divina. But in my own experience, when I engage with a Bible passage solely with a meditation that someone else has offered me, even though they're trying to help me relate the passage to my own life, I still feel a slight sense of a pre-made meditation being offered to me and me sticking it to myself. I hope that makes some kind of sense, but I'll try and explain further. When I was younger and I used daily Bible meditation notes, I'd often read through the scripture passage quite quickly, keen to read the meditation that followed in the hope that it would help me better understand the passage or help me better relate it to my life. Notice what I was doing there. I was being overly reliant on the meditation that someone else had written. And the meditation was, in fact, taking a more important place in my prayer time than the scripture itself. And even if I did really take time to pray with the thought for the day that was being offered to me, the main topic of my meditation and prayer was the theme from the passage that the meditation writer was offering to me. If I had sought the Holy Spirit directly for inspiration for my meditation on that passage, the Holy Spirit might have brought to my attention a different theme in the same passage, more relevant to my own life at the time, and connecting more with my emotions. Do you see the difference? What I described just then about the Holy Spirit guiding a meditation more tailor-made to me is a fairly good description of Lectio Divina. Personally, I'd like to translate Lectio Divina as Holy Spirit-led praying with a Bible passage. Lectio Divina involves a very minimalistic and a very expectant approach to scripture. It's just you and God and a single Bible passage. No meditations written by others on that passage, and no Bible commentary on that passage. Now, God can see you sitting there with your Bible, and God longs to reveal God's self to you and touch you deeply through this passage. We need to believe this. The foundation of Lectio Divina is a belief that we can and will experience God personally through a Bible passage without needing the help of another human. Do you believe that? So, how do we actually go about Lectio Divina? Well, here are my personal thoughts. First of all, we choose a length of time that we're going to sit with our chosen passage. The longer the time we sit with it, the deeper we'll enter into it. 30 minutes would be ideal. 20 minutes gives just about enough space for the whole full sequence. Perhaps we use our phone to set a timer that will go off at the end of our allotted time. We set a timer, put our phone out of reach if we used a phone, and now it's simply me and God and this one Bible passage until the timer goes off. Now, what do? We just have the Bible passage in front of us. There's no commentary or meditation for us to read. We're coming at this dry. Imagine you have a sweet in your hand in its wrapper. If you know what I mean by starburst, think of a starburst. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, think of a very chewy fruit-flavored sweet. First of all, you're going to peel off the wrapper and look at the sweet. Step one. Secondly, you're going to put it in your mouth and keep it still in your mouth for a moment, simply to get your first experience of its flavor. Thirdly, you start chewing it. It's very chewy, so you turn it around in your mouth, chewing it from different angles, and you realize that you can keep on chewing this one sweet for a very long time. Fourthly, after a lot of chewing, you're ready to swallow it. Swallowing marks an end to the chewing phase, and it brings the sweet deeper into your body. And fifthly and lastly, now that you've swallowed the sweet, you notice that you still have a certain aftertaste in your mouth. So you just stay still for a while, enjoying the stillness after all that chewing and savoring the aftertaste. This five-step process is my image of how we do Lectio Divina. Let's try it with a Bible passage. Normally, you do Lectio Divina with about one paragraph of scripture or maybe one psalm. But to begin with, let's imagine we're doing it with a single verse. Let's imagine we've set a timer for 20 minutes and we've chosen to pray simply with the first verse of the 23rd psalm. Now, what did we do first with the sweet in our image? We unwrapped it, which gave us our first look at it. That's the equivalent of reading our chosen scripture passage for the first time, curious to see what it says. So, we read our passage slowly for the first time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What did we do next with the sweet? We put it in our mouth and held it still there for a moment to experience its flavor for the first time. That's the equivalent of us reading our chosen scripture passage for a second time, perhaps even a third time. This time, simply noticing the initial effect it has on us. It might evoke a certain emotion in us. Or there might be a word or a phrase that particularly stands out to us. So let's try reading our passage slowly a second time, noticing the effect it has on us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As we pay attention to the initial effect this passage has on us, we might notice, for example, that already we're starting to feel comforted by the thought of God as our shepherd. Or we might notice that the word want is standing out to us, although we're not quite sure why yet. Now, what do we do with the sweet? We chew it. At this stage, we chew our scripture passage as much as we like, thinking more deeply about the words. We've got two options here. We might like to chew all the words in order, phrase by phrase or word by word, or we might just concentrate on the words or the phrase that most stood out to us and forget about the other words. So here's me giving a couple of examples of chewing. Lord is my shepherd. Let me take a moment to think about what that means. What kinds of things does a shepherd do? A shepherd guides his sheep, protects his sheep, provides food and water, rescues a sheep if it wanders off or gets stuck. How do each of these elements apply to God at work in my life? I shall not want. I'm not sure that's true of my life, but here it is in the Bible. But there are so many things I want. Am I not supposed to want them? Hang on, I guess here it means I shall not be in want. I shall not be lacking. There are things that seem lacking from my life. Perhaps, God, you're saying to me through this passage that if I have a genuine need in my life, you will supply it at the right time. And that if there's something that seems lacking in my life, Maybe it's because you know I don't need it as much as I think I do. Or maybe there's a reason you don't want me to have it yet. So, as you can see, just from those little examples, in the chewing phase, we meditate on the words in our scripture passage from all kinds of angles. And just like you started to see me do then, if we can meditate on the words in the form of having a conversation with God about them, and joining our emotions to our meditation rather than just thinking thoughts in our head, it's more prayerful than simply thinking about the words intellectually. So, ideally, perhaps we chew on the words in our chosen scripture passage for a good 10 minutes or so. Now comes the time to swallow the sweet. This is an action to formally bring an end to the chewing phase. We may well have already been talking with God as part of our chewing. But when it's time to bring the chewing to a close, we summarize our meditations and our conversations with God with a definite prayer. It might look something like this. God, thank you for all that you've shown me just in this first verse of this psalm. Thank you that you're such a good shepherd who always has his eye on me, always protects and provides for me, always guides me. Please help me to be more aware of your shepherding of me in my life. Thank you that you see all my desires and wants and all the things that I feel are lacking in my life. Please help me to trust you more. That if I have a genuine need, you will provide for it. And that if there's something I want that's not in my life at the moment, please help me to trust your wisdom that you know better than me. Maybe I don't need it as much as I think I do. Or maybe you know I'd be better off without it, at least for now. Thank you, my shepherd, that I can trust you so deeply with my life. And finally comes the fifth and final stage of Lectio Divina, a stage we mustn't skip if it's to be true Lectio Divina. We allow at least 5 minutes at the end of our prayerful meditation to simply sit with God with the aftertaste of our meditation. Lectio Divina is a form of contemplative prayer. And it actually finds its climax in transitioning to prayer without words or thoughts at its final stage. You might think of this last phase as resting prayer. And in the case of Lectio Divina, it's specifically resting in the aftertaste of our meditation and conversation with God. Sometimes there might even be an image from the passage we've just been praying with that we can rest in. For example, with this verse from Psalm 23, we might end our time of Lectio Divina imagining ourselves as a sheep in God's arms and simply rest in that image without any further words or thoughts for at least 5 minutes. So that gives you an overview of the Lectio Divina pattern. Let's try it again with a different passage. As I said, normally we would do Lectio Divina with something closer to a paragraph of scripture, but for the sake of this talk, I'm keeping the examples short. This time, let's have a go at the Lectio Divina pattern. With a short passage from one of Paul's letters. Let's imagine we've set a timer for 20 minutes, but in the context of this talk, I'll guide you through in a very fast-forwarded way. First of all, we unwrap the sweet, i.e., we read the passage for the first time, curious to see what it looks like. So here it is from Romans chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. Now we hold the sweet still in our mouth for a moment, i.e., we read the passage a second time, noticing what emotions it evokes in us, or noticing which word or phrase particularly stands out to us. So here it is a second time. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. We might even read the passage a third time at this stage. And as I read it now for a third time, I invite each of you to hold in your mind one word or phrase that particularly stands out to you. Here it is the final time. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. Now, we would normally take around 10 minutes or so to chew the passage. And as I said earlier, you could either chew each phrase or sentence in turn, or you could just concentrate on the word or phrase or image that stands out to you and forget about all the other words. And we're having a go at the latter approach here. So just now I invited you to hold in your mind the word or the phrase that most stood out to you in that passage. I now invite you just to spend 1 minute silently meditating on that word or phrase, or having a conversation with God about it. Now we swallow the sweet. I invite each of you just to spend 1 minute praying a silent prayer in your heart that summarizes the little meditation and conversation with God that you've just had. Now, the important final stage of Lectio Divina, we spend some time in resting prayer with no words or thoughts, simply savoring the aftertaste of our prayerful meditation. So I now invite you to spend just 1 minute doing precisely that. Well, I hope you're now becoming familiar with the Lectio Divina pattern and feeling confident to give it a go on your own at home in a more spacious way. Now, we've seen what Lectio Divina might look like with a psalm, and we've seen what it might look like with a passage from an epistle. The last thing I'd briefly like to share with you is about praying with a gospel passage. When it comes to praying with the Gospels, we'll often encounter passages that are in a narrative form. And these kinds of passages lend themselves to a slightly different way of praying with them. When we pray with these passages, we can ask the Holy Spirit to guide our imaginations so that we enter into the passage as one of the characters and have our own conversation with Jesus. Even if our conversation is different from what's in front of us in the Bible. I'll give you a little example. Let's say I'm praying with the story of Zacchaeus. First of all, I read the scripture passage slowly a couple of times, like we've done in our other examples. Now, when it comes to the chewing phase, with the narrative passage, I do something a little different. I put down my Bible, and I close my eyes. And I put myself in Zacchaeus's position. I imagine myself sitting in a tree looking from a distance at Jesus below. And I experience for myself what it feels like to be stuck in between feeling drawn to Jesus and yet somewhat distancing myself from him. I ask myself in what ways I'm doing precisely this in my life. Does the tree maybe symbolize a certain pride in my life? Or does it symbolize a desire for a certain amount of comfort and security that's stopping me following Jesus more closely? In my imagination, I watch as Jesus notices me and looks directly up at me. I experience what it feels like for Jesus to address me by my own name. I listen to what Jesus says to me personally, to encourage me out of whatever this tree symbolizes in my own life. Then I move on to the Lectio Divina phases we're already familiar with, turning this imaginative meditation into a definite prayer. And then spending at least 5 minutes in the aftertaste of the meditation in a form of resting prayer. So I hope that my chewy sweet image, which is based on a classic four stage of Lectio Divina, but I just thought this was more memorable. I hope that's helpful to you. And I hope that now that you've looked at examples of Lectio Divina with different types of Bible passage, and tried it for yourselves a bit, you're feeling confident and excited to try it out at home, giving it its proper length of nearer 20 minutes if possible. So to conclude, remember, scripture is one of the primary and most powerful ways in which we can have a personal encounter with God. If you find that you're quite cerebral or tend to approach the Bible more with a study or an obtaining information frame of mind, Lectio Divina can help you engage with God through a scripture passage in a way that will be much deeper for you and far, far more transformative for you. Because it's engaging your own heart and your life circumstances, and because the Holy Spirit, who knows you intimately, is helping guide your meditation. And even if you don't feel so familiar with the Bible, even if you don't understand half of it, and actually, even if you don't fully understand the passage you've chosen to pray with, that doesn't stop the Holy Spirit leading you in a profound prayerful meditation and conversation with God on a word or phrase within it, without the need of anyone's help for that conversation and encounter. So I encourage each of you at some point in this coming week to choose a Bible passage. Set a timer for 20 minutes. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you have a personal encounter with God through the passage. Remember my chewy sweet phases and experience for yourself what happens.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions for Cecilia? What about translations?